Good morning, and welcome to today's webinar, Airfield Asphalt Pavement Preservation. My name is Paul Bowers, publisher of Airport Improvement Magazine. Thank you for making this webinar a part of your day's schedule. We've hit on a really hot topic for today's webinar. There are more people signed up today than for any other webinar so far this year. And why not? Runways are a natural topic. Based on reader demand, we have more coverage on this topic than any other in Airport Improvement Magazine. Before we get started, I would like to address a few housekeeping items to maximize the information you receive and take-home value of the webinar. Your telephones are strictly used for listening. Please mute them to minimize background noise so that you can better hear what our speakers are saying. However, you can still communicate with our presenters. Anyone wishing to make a comment or ask a question of our presenters may do so at any time through the chat feature in the lower left-hand corner of your screen. It works just like texting. Simply type in your comment or question and hit send. Your message will be sent to us and questions are encouraged. We will save all questions sent throughout the webinar and answer as many of them as possible after each of the presenters has gone through their material. We have a lot of material to cover in today's webinar. We'll do our best to keep this to an hour in length. Some of the information may be a bit technical. Trying to write down everything during the webinar may be a challenge. So please don't feel that you need to write it all down. You may miss some good points on the next slide if you're busy writing what you just saw. For those who would like to see the slides again, or for those who have missed the webinar, we have you covered. A recording of the webinar will be available on airportimprovement.com starting tomorrow. You can find today's webinar under the webinar tab on the homepage of the magazine site. We have two speakers for you today. The first is Joe LaRusso. Joe has 25 years of experience in the asphalt industry, mainly in technical areas, including materials manufacturing, as well as contracting and equipment aspects. Joe is responsible for technical aspects of sales and marketing, research and development, and product improvement from a pavement preservation perspective. Joe originally hails from the Chicago area and now resides in Arizona and manages many aspects of asphalt systems business in the Southwest in California, and is active with several pavement preservation committees and industry associations, including aviation industry groups. Joe is a former founder and executive director of a state pavement preservation association. Our second speaker is John Hunter, regional business development manager of Asphalt Systems. John is entering his 23rd year in the construction industry with both practical contractor experience and working directly for industry-related manufacturers. John has worked exclusively in the asphalt pavement maintenance and preservation industry since 1999, working as a contractor and materials supplier for DOT, commercial, aviation, and private sector projects. John's current responsibilities with ASI include business development with particular involvement in the aviation industry. Joe, John, good morning, and let's start our webinar.
Good morning, Paul. So, pretty picture on our first slide, P608 high-performance seal coat. Just a note here, we're getting some background chatter. If everyone could go to mute. I believe we have some folks from overseas logging in also. So, hello to everyone. There was an earthquake over on the coast of California off in the ocean, and I hope everyone's well with that. Hope everyone's warm and dry, and let's get going. Our webinar here is on P608. P608 has recently, within the last 2.5 years, become an FAA specification and has created a lot of buzz. It's a preventive maintenance seal coat treatment, and some people are very familiar with it, some aren't. Since becoming an FAA P-spec for sealers, it's been used on a little bit over 200 airports. Prior to that, these types of treatments were utilized and applied via a modification situation, and they have over 20 years of experience being put down like that. And over all that time, they were thoroughly researched. There were several highfalutin engineering analysis and studies done on these things, and they verified the high performance of these systems with third-party engineering firms. So overall, P608 is, I believe, approaching about 800 airports when you take into consideration the lengthy history of these types of treatments. Who we are, Asphalt Systems, Inc., is a manufacturer of gilsonite-modified asphalt cement products, and these are the type of products that are being applied as seal coats in a P608. We have a lot of P608 experience, and we love to talk about it. It's a pretty simple concept. It's pretty straightforward. It's a fog seal application of a water-based asphalt emulsion. You have optional friction sand use on these systems, and it's all done with a single truck. They're used as preservation maintenance treatments. They can be used in a preventive mode or a reactive mode. And what makes them so special is they literally stop surface oxidation and deterioration in its tracks. And that is the key life extension component for aviation pavements for non-structural issues. Stop that surface degradation, and you're good to go for a long time. This particular system, P608, is unmatched in how it extends service life of these pavements in the sealer class. So a typical maintenance approach for using these things is a construction event where you do crack fill, seal coat, and markings. Pretty standard stuff. Excuse me. So it's standard and it's simple. Here's a video, and I hope that everyone's able to take a peek at this, of an application of P608 being done on a runway. You are applying a spray of what we call a fog seal. It's a water-based asphalt component, and the water evaporates off. And a simultaneous application of friction sand there. And it's all being done in one simple truck. So it doesn't get much simpler than this. And even though it's simple, it's very high performance. Here's a nice photo of a little bit of a close-up of a truck doing that application. And we like this one because you can see the bare pavement that hasn't been treated yet, the spray of the product going down. Behind that, the application of the friction sand all in one swoop. Pretty simple. Because of the importance of pavement preservation and preventive maintenance and reactive maintenance, especially as the FAA is trying to stretch pavement life from 20 to 40 years, there's a need here to kind of clarify what a P608 seal coat is and what it isn't. There's sometimes some confusion out there, and we'd like to clarify some of these things. What a P608 seal coat residue is, simply, is a high-performance binder residue being sprayed onto the pavement. It's water-based, and that water evaporates off. There's an optional polymer that you can put into the system for additional durability. There's optional friction sand that you can use with the system, as you saw in the video and the photo. That friction sand is mandatory on runways and other friction critical areas of an airfield. What P608 is not a filled sealer. Most of the sealers that people have come across are filled sealers, parking lot sealers on bike paths and running paths and whatnot. Most of those types of things are filled sealers, and they're called filled because they're filled with clay and some other micro sands and inorganics and whatnot. And these fillers are kind of like extenders. They give some body to the sealer, a little viscosity and thickness. But, you know, they're filled with these other substances. P608 also is not a rejuvenator. P608 does restore and has some rejuvenator tendencies, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But a rejuvenator is a special class of product and P608 is not a rejuvenator. The other P-spec sealer treatments, P632, 631, 630, and 629, are also not analogous to P608. P608 is really in a class by itself. Why is it so special, and how does it work? What it can do, what it does? It's all based on the way that it stops surface deterioration and oxidation. And just very quickly going to run through what happens on an asphalt pavement when it ages and oxidizes and deteriorates. You have asphalt cement, which is that black, gooey, sticky stuff. That's the binder, the glue of that mix. And in a typical hot mix, you're around 5% asphalt cement, 95% aggregate. And so as you see your pavement age, it's not the aggregate, it's not the stone that's aging, it's your asphalt cement. And how to describe the aging of the asphalt cement traditionally has been done by looking at the components of asphalt cement. And being a chemist, I love this stuff, but we're not going to get into all that stuff. There's over, 250, 300 different distinct chemical compounds in asphalt. The traditional way of looking at asphalt cement is breaking it down into four distinct components, or fractions as we call them, SARA analysis: saturates, aromatics, resins, and asphaltenes. So as your asphalt ages and oxidizes, you can see these SARA fractions shift towards the more hard, more brittle end of the spectrum, and that's asphaltenes. Asphaltenes are these hard, oxidized, non-flexible micro, components in there. Roofing asphalt is oxidized asphalt. That's not what you want on your pavement. But that's how asphalt cement ages. The effect you see is that your hot mix asphalt pavement dries out. It loses flexibility. It develops cracks. It loses fines. It starts to ravel. It starts to kick FOD. We all know this phenomenon very well. Some of the inputs, non-structural inputs on your hot mix asphalt and asphalt cement aging are the climate, where that pavement is, sun, water, chemicals. And by chemicals, we're not referring to only glycols and salts used in de-icing. We're referring to chemicals that can be found in exhaust from airplanes and vehicles, chemicals that come from dust and dirt and silt, chemicals that are brought along with rainwater. There's all kinds of chemicals affecting the pavement. Other inputs are AC profile. The asphalt cement has a specific chemical profile. The aggregate does too. Other considerations are the actual mix design itself. What kind of aggregate are you using? How much aggregate? How much asphalt cement? And, of course, the hot mix production and placement and compaction methods, which can be problematic occasionally. And even if they're done wonderfully, you can still have some aging issues. You can get segregation in the mix when it's being transported and placed. You can have compaction issues, so you have excessive air voids, and on and on. So, as we all know, if you've seen one airport, you've seen one airport. And if you've seen one airport pavement, you've seen one airport pavement. Every situation is different on every different airport, on every different airport pavement. So, you have all these different pavements aging at different rates, and we want to stop that aging and surface deterioration and oxidation. And we want to do that by applying a sealer. And so the main role of a sealer on an aviation asphalt pavement is to actually seal the surface of that pavement. And we don't mean just lay on top of it. We mean seal and integrate into and with that pavement. You got to seal out the water, the chemicals, the UV rays. That's what's going to stop your oxidation and deterioration. It's very elementary, but to actually do that, to seal like that, the product must affect some penetration, and it must bind with the pavement and restore it a little bit on the surface, and it must leave a high-performance, durable, flexible residue film on top of that surface, which does not dry out, doesn't crack, doesn't delaminate. And so you have to do a couple few things there to create a proper seal and stop oxidation and deterioration of that surface. And it's not just be a laminate on top, and it's not just penetrate into and not leave a protective coating. P608 does all of these functions as well as some additional things in one single product and system. So that's kind of what makes it special. Real quick, just an example of a sealer not doing what we might think it should be doing. If it doesn't penetrate and bind, it doesn't stop oxidation deterioration. Filled sealers that have these clays and other inorganics in them, they may reduce friction because they're pretty slick surfaces and you fill up all the voids. They mostly crack and delaminate over time. And as an example, here's some photos of three successive applications of a filled sealer. And we asked the question, did it stop oxidation and deterioration of the hot mix underneath it? Well, you could argue that it stopped UV ray deterioration, but certainly it increased the temperature of that surface, which led to other types of deterioration. And you can visually see micro cracking and micro delamination that allows water into the pavement and chemicals. Those things penetrate, and sometimes these sealers, when they're in these states of decay, actually trap water between the sealer and the pavement, or they'll trap water in micro puddles on the pavement, and of course that accelerates deterioration. So here's just another close-up of situations we've seen all too often, and you know that sealer probably looked pretty when it was new, but did it really do what we thought it was going to do? Here's a little ditty about how P608 is not a rejuvenator. A rejuvenator in asphalt pavement industry is a very specific term. A rejuvenator, by definition, contains completely or a large amount of a special maltine oil resin fraction. These can be refined out of crudes and therefore depleted in your asphalt cement. And this is one way to add that nice oily fraction back to an asphalt cement. By definition, they deep penetrate into that hot mix, usually 3/8 to half an inch, and they soften and rejuvenate the asphalt residue in that hot mix pavement. In aviation, this specification is FAA P632. What these things don't necessarily do is seal the surface with the durable residue. That oily product that these rejuvenators are, it immediately or very quickly wears off the surface. You're not putting a surface film that's going to stay around a long time on top. You are rejuvenating down deep. So P608 does restore some of the soft viscosity characteristics and whatnot of the hot mix asphalt cement. Maybe it penetrates an eighth of an inch and restores to that depth. But also it seals the surface with that very durable beneficial residue. So the take home is what makes P608 special is it's multifunctional. It penetrates, restores, and binds. It leaves a durable, flexible, antioxidant, anti-UV surface seal, and that seal never dries out, cracks, delaminates, any of that bad stuff. So when you add friction sand to these systems, you're adding back a fine aggregate to your surface that maintains acceptable friction. That aggregate is probably better than the fine aggregate that was originally in your hot mix. How does it do all this in that little system, that little simple thing that you saw being sprayed on the ground? Well, there's gilsonite in the product. And by definition, by specification, minimum 20%. Real quick, what does gilsonite do? It enriches that asphalt cement. It's a naturally occurring petrified asphalt-like resin, and it's got all that good stuff that asphalt cements used to have before everything got refined out of them, plus a lot of other stuff. So it's this really interesting, unique chemical. So without getting into all the details of what Gilsonite does, all the engineered analysis over the years has proven that it has these multiple performance benefits and enhancements. Antioxidant, anti-UV, it acts in the asphalt cement almost like a polymer, and it benefits the microstructure of the asphalt cement. It's cationic, which means it's positively charged, positive in all the good aspects of being positive. So it helps the bonding, adhesion, and sealing, because 99.9% of the pavements you're dealing with have a negative charge. So you get an electrochemical ionic bond with this. And, of course, you have benefits to weathering, flexibility, durability, and toughness. So sounds great, right? Because of all these benefits over all the years proven through all these studies, the P608 can be used on all aviation asphalt pavements, from runways to ramps, from plane parking areas to car parking lots, and there's no restrictions on it. The beauty of the P608, in the manner that the FAA has forwarded to people, is that the spec has built-in wiggle room to tailor these treatments to individual pavement situations. And by tailor, we won't get carried away with this, but there's flexibility built in here. There are options for different dilution rates. You can have a 1-to-1, that's 50% product and 50% water, or a 2-to-1, which is 66% product and 33% water. These things are fog seals, generally not to be shot as 100% concentrates. There's options for dilution or application rates. So you have the spectrum from 0.10 gallons a square yard to 0.17. So you can also vary that rate. There's an option for polymer addition. And in regards to friction sand, there's options for various sources around the United States and world. And the friction sands can be added at various rates. All these things are meant to help produce a sealer treatment that does what it's supposed to do. So how do you get there? How do you figure all this out? Well, that's why you do test areas and test strips where you can look at some of these variables and find an optimal application rate situation where you can balance your needs for immediate friction, because you want to open that pavement back up as quickly as possible to air traffic, as well as extended service life. And we'll roll it over to John Hunter here, who can talk about what kind of pavements are appropriate.
Thanks, Joe. So what are appropriate pavements for a treatment? Below is the first page of the P608 specification, and this is copied directly from the FAA website. As Joe previously stated, P608 can be used on all airfield asphalt pavements. No restrictions. The treatment may be applied to new pavements used as a construction seal, which we'll talk more about later, or pavements in fair or better condition. But from a safety standpoint, no restrictions. Structurally sound pavements. Treatments can be placed over P401, state mixes, basically any asphaltic mix. Structurally sound, because P608 maintains the surface of the asphalt. The treatment won't cure base failure. It will help prevent it by sealing out moisture and harmful UV rays. Over slurries and micros, these treatments are very useful, providing a nice riding surface, enhanced friction. They're very cost effective versus a mill and fill or even a thin overlay. However, when the binders start failing, these treatments can create real fog issues. A P608 treatment will add the needed residual asphalt back to the pavement matrix, increase the field performance of the binder, and provide a lockdown effect of any loose aggregate. Oxidized and raveled pavements. Oxidation, I think Joe stated it, is the number one cause of pavement failure. Adding high-performance residual asphalt to the existing binder while sealing out moisture and UV rays will preserve the pavement. Porous friction courses. Throughout the FAA system, there are many PFCs still in service. While not candidates for standard field seal coats, because they clog the system, not allowing proper drainage, PFCs are great candidates for a P608 treatment. They can be treated safely and effectively, extending the service life for years. Groove pavements, again, not candidates for standard mineral film heavy filled treatments. These type treatments fill the grooves, negating any friction benefits. Groove pavements are great candidates for a P608 treatment. The grooves are not filled, they're treated, allowing the grooves to perform as designed. Spot issues, excessive raveling, failing binders, perhaps a failing surface treatment, slurry or micro possibly, all might create asphalt-based FOD. Many airports simply don't have the resources to deal with excessive FOD. A P608 treatment will provide a lockdown effect, essentially eliminating FOD. Construction seals, keeping great pavement great. That's about as simple as it gets. There are many industry definitions for a construction seal. ASI views a construction seal as simply sealing pavement in very good condition with the intention of protecting and extending the service life, possibly doubling or tripling the service life of a major recent investment. P608 recommends waiting 30 days before sealing over fresh P401 hot mix. Sealing any time in the first year or two is an industry standard construction seal. Studies show that up to 60% of a pavement's useful service life is lost in the first 2 years. 60% lost in the first 2 years. You know, think about that for a second. That makes the practice of sealing good pavements, keeping good pavements in good service. Spend a little, save a lot, seal it again. Construction seal was applied on this pavement 2 years after it was laid, and it's in great condition 9 years later. Similar pavements in this system are failing or are very distressed. It's a great treatment for the use, it's a great testament for the use of construction seals. So, is my airport a candidate for a treatment? Well, each airport is unique, and no two pavements are exactly alike. ASI will visit your airport and provide an informal pavement evaluation specific to a P608 treatment. The evaluation will comment on compatibility, reasonable expectations of a treatment, any scheduling requirements, find out the goals of the project. Is it strictly a preservation project, or are there more distressed or challenging pavements that need to be sealed? What's the current PCI rating? Is the PCI quickly trending downward? Has a previous seal coat treatment been applied? How's the existing friction? Any issues? All good info to identify the factors that lead to a successful treatment. The more information, the better. Joe mentioned test strips, and these are key depending on the need. They are small, hand-applied test strips that rarely interfere with airport ops. Test strips will confirm compatibility of the seal coat with the existing pavement, help determine an estimated application rate, help determine a range, as well as give the engineer and owner a chance to monitor the treatment. Joe, friction.
Yes, part of what you're trying to decide in terms of application rates for P608s has to do with friction. And so you need to think about what your friction requirements are. Again, you can balance your immediate needs for friction rebound versus extended service life, and you do that via treatment rates. Obviously, if you put on a really thick application of the product, you're going to have a longer service life extension, but you're going to sacrifice some friction value. And so that's what you need to decide. You need to consider what your pavement situation is, what's your initial existing friction on that pavement, and what is its condition? Not just right now when you're looking at it, but in 2 to 3 years when your construction is going to take place. Sometimes, you know, these things are planned and it's 3 years before the treatment gets applied. So you need to think about that. What's the overall PCI? And more importantly, what is the surface situation? What's the age of that stuff? What's the micro and macro texture? What's your raveling FOD situation? Your previous seals on there, and what are they doing to your pavement? What are your site conditions? What's the climate? Is it heavy use, part 139, with big jets, big heavy jets all the time, or are you a smaller GA? So all these things factor into the situation. But just as important is what are your expectations? What do you desire to do here? Are you in a preventive maintenance mode, or are you in a reactive Band-Aid mode? Are you trying to increase the pavement condition index? Are you trying to increase service life? Are you trying to increase friction? Do you really think you can get all three of those banged up with one small treatment? All these things need to be considered. And here's the thing with P608. It's designed to extend service life of that pavement while maintaining and improving the condition and maintaining acceptable friction. So that's really the basis of the whole thing. And here's some information about how it halts PCI deterioration. These are actual air-fueled pavements, and P608 treatments done on them. And you can see the decline in PCI since placement on your left, that slope. And then a P608 treatment, you'll get a jump in PCI and then a plateau of condition over time. If you really drill into this, you can see that the PCI increase is 5, 6, 7 points, sometimes 10, 11, 12 points. So just an example, but these are actual situations. So you want to balance that PCI, long-term PCI jump, with friction. And in P608, we describe the return to friction numbers as a rebound effect. So the application of a P608 seal coat, or any other fog seal for that matter, will immediately drop friction on the pavement. With P608, it quickly rebounds back up towards pre-treatment friction values. This time phase of the rebound can take anywhere to, 6 to 48 hours. And then after that, it will plateau and slowly, methodically increase over time. Again, this phenomena depends on lots of inputs, dilution rates, 1-to-1 or 2-to-1, application rates, light application versus a heavy application, friction sand rates. This is not a linear phenomena. So somewhere in there is an optimal combination of inputs, and you find these things out by doing the test strips. It's specific to each different pavement, of course, and that combination of rates might result in immediate friction results that you like. You're back to good friction numbers in 4, 5, 6 hours. You like that. That application rate may not give you the best long-term performance. If you went with a thicker rate, your friction rebound may be a little bit lower quickly, but you're going to have better long-term performance. So all these things kind of need to be thought about. Here's a slide illuminating the long-term friction development with these P608 treatments. What you cannot see over on the left, the units are too small on the horizontal axis, is the immediate rebound effect. But what you see over the long haul here up to, 400, 500 days, is the methodical plateau increase in friction. Here's a magnification of that left side of that previous graph showing that rebound effect. And so you're applying a water-based treatment, the friction drops to something indefinite and then rebounds back up. So here you can see at 1/2 day, 12 hours after treatment, you're getting a certain amount of friction result rebound. At 24 hours, you're higher. Day and a half, 2 days, you're up there and entering the plateau stage. So that's a very good description of the phenomena of friction rebound in here. When you're actually out on a job site, project, airfield, runway, what have you, they're going to do these friction tests on these test strips. And here's some actual results reported from a project. So if you look at the top graph, you're seeing the control section that's not treated from left to right in the green safe area, planning, let's see, that is the design level. So you're running up here around 0.90, 1.0 mu's. Boom, you hit the test strip area, and you drop down to about the 0.657 level, and then bang back up into the design level again as you exit the test strip. So there you go. You've seen a drop in friction on the test strip and an immediate rebound. In this case, the test strip was applied in the morning, and they're doing a test in the afternoon. What it shows you as represented in the second table below that is in the related to the FAA maintenance planning levels, design levels. Of course, green is good. Yellow is acceptable. The orange is your maintenance planning level, which is kind of the bottom of acceptability, and then your red is no good. So there's a couple different ways to illuminate what's happening with friction, but this one illuminates, within 6 hours, bang, you're right back into good friction, and whatever particular combination of application rates and sand rates, and this was on this one, has gotten you to a comfortable friction level in a fairly quick time. So know what you're dealing with and be realistic about what your expectations are. In terms of PCI and pavement condition, when you're looking at doing these things, there's a counterintuitive aspect to this that many folks unfortunately don't grasp. And that is that friction on a pavement increases as the pavement deteriorates. So as your pavement gets older and raggedy and your PCI starts going down and you've lost all the surface fines and you're starting to kick FOD, your friction is actually going to increase during that time period. So you can have a situation where you have an old raggedy pavement and it's got high friction, 0.90, 1.0, it's up there, but your PCI is dropping off a cliff. And maybe it's a 60, but in 2 years it's going to be a 50. The expectation of what a P608 seal coat is going to do for this pavement needs to be reasonable. You're not going to get everything you want in terms of increasing PCI and a incredible extended service life, as well as a big jump in friction. That's not going to happen when you're in this Band-Aid mode. You put down a heavy P608 and it'll stop further deterioration, and you'll add some years of service life to that pavement, but you're not going to get a friction rebound effect all the way back up to 1.0 mu on these pavements, typically. But you should get acceptable friction on them. When you have something that's in fairly good condition, pavement-wise, PCI-wise, what you're trying to do is balance the immediate friction needs with the service life extension. And when you have really good newer pavements, obviously, you're going to do a lighter application of P608. You're going to keep that PCI and friction level elevated in the, PCI 80, 85, 90, what have you, in the construction seal type approach. And you're going to increase the service life of that thing indefinitely. John?
The aesthetics. The treatment looks great after an application. The shininess created by the Gilsonite resin wears off after a few weeks, and the treatment cures to a jet black. I've referred to this as a very nice aesthetic bump. It looks great. The treatment does fade as it wears off the top of the aggregate. It fades much like a new overlay, and that's a reasonable expectation. Fresh, high-performing asphalt has been added to the binder, but the treatment is not designed to completely fill all the pavement voids. It's not designed to flood the pavement over the top of the aggregate. It's designed to be a thin protective layer that becomes part of the pavement matrix. It's designed to improve the performance of the binder and protect it. Black has nothing to do with whether a pavement is sealed or not. You see cracked seal coats all the time that are still black, but if they're cracked, they're not sealing the pavement. Black does not equal sealed. Best practices. These are helpful tips to ensure successful treatment. ASI will have a best practices field guide ready for distribution after the first of the year. It'll be posted on our website, and the manufacturer reps will hand these out to inspectors at pre-cons. We'll have these available. The role of the manufacturer rep, you'll see this referenced several times in the piece backs, and it seems pretty straightforward. The main function of the rep is to assist the engineer or on-site inspector. He's not an agent for the contractor. He's not the project superintendent. He is only there to support the specification, stand behind the engineer, and assist as he makes decisions regarding the details of the project. Offer support, offer suggestions as requested. Again, assist and support the specification. Best practices, a little bit about weather. Of course, the pavement surface needs to be dry, don't apply it under foggy or rainy conditions. Wind velocity should not affect uniform application. Account for wind drift, cover existing building structure, all lights. Cease application when excessive dust or sand is blowing. When rain is anticipated within 8 hours of application completion, stop the application. And you talk about that 8 hours. This means 8 hours of quality cure time, meaning sunshine and temperatures at or above the spec requirement. This doesn't mean the contractor stops sealing at 5 p.m. The treatment gets 1 hour of quality cure time before dark. The temps get down to 45 degrees that night, and the rain comes in at 1 in the morning. That's not 8 hours of cure time. Clock hours don't equal cure hours. Another one on weather. The decision to allow applications outside the 608 requirements are solely the engineer's call. Applications outside the specifications may result in longer cure times, sometimes discoloration, sometimes reemulsification. No doubt the on-site rep can be helpful in these situations. From his experience with the process, he can offer the engineer potential outcomes to whatever obstacles are causing the possible need to apply outside the spec guidelines. But ultimately, the engineer makes the final decision, or the contractor makes the decision and accepts any consequences. Joe, the truck setup.
Okay, so you have this vehicle, this piece of equipment, this truck. I can't forward the slide, John. I don't know if you can. There it goes. And that's a very important part of your project here. And so you want your truck set up and calibrated correctly. These things have adjustable spray bars on them. You need to ensure that they're at a proper height to get a triple overlap, an even distribution of both the P608 product as well as the sand, the friction sand. They need to be using the right spray nozzles. Bog seals are different than chip seals, so they need to be cognizant of that. They usually are. All the nozzles need to be working and clean and free of clogs, and no leaks, working thermometer, and a computerized application rate. So you want to make sure that this truck is has a certified calibration and is doing these things properly to give you the best end product. And again, in our best practices handout, it goes into a little bit more detail on that. You also want to make sure that the sand spreader is properly calibrated, and that's really a matter of setting the rheostat on the sander to a specific level and running it over a cloth of the specific square yardage and weighing how much sand is on that square yard and making sure they're in the appropriate range for what you're looking for. part of best practices, after you're calibrating, you do a test strip out there on your air fuel pavement, is to evaluate the friction results via data plot. In this particular case, there was a 40-mile-an-hour friction test done on a application of dilute 2-to-1. The control, non-treated section, was 0.80, and you have various rates here of what was applied. And you can see the various results. So this 0.12 treatment here has got some excellent friction results at 5 hours and 8 hours. But don't sell yourself short. The contractor may say, well, let's go with that short cure time and use that rate. Over here at 0.16, you've got some pretty decent returns to friction. Maybe the engineer on that project wanted a 0.60 at 5 hours and not quite there with the 0.16 application rate. But, I mean, you're pretty close right here. So it all depends on what you're looking for and expecting, and these are things that you should be cognizant of when you're out there.
Thanks, Joe. We got three slides right here on paint. I'm going to run through them quickly. P608 doesn't mention paint, and it gives no recommendations. The contractor, an idea is that the contractor should submit painting striping recommendations per the paint manufacturer. Painting over asphalt seal coats is an industry standard practice. When we are asked, when ASI is asked for a recommendation, we recommend the following. Temporary striping as via P620, and this will avoid bleeding. Temporary paint should be applied when the seal coat is cured enough to avoid tracking and damaging the fresh seal coat with the equipment. This time frame varies depending on many factors, but generally between 24 and 48 hours. I call this, you can see the picture there, I call that phenomenon shadowing. That's an industry standard term. So the markings will shadow under a treatment. If you're changing the paint layout, it is suggested that you remove the markings. Another one on paint removal. Cracked paint should be removed. The sealer will stick to the paint, but it will not re-adhere the paint back to the existing pavement. As the paint continues to crack and peel, the sealer will peel with it. Joe, a few extreme conditions. I noticed we had a question or two about paint, and maybe we can get to that in the question and answer part.
Yep. Joe? This is basically our last slide here before we go to Q&A, folks. So we're almost done. So, of course, in the real world, there are various conditions and obstacles and problems that have to be dealt with. I'd like to clarify one thing here. I saw a couple of the questions in the chat box go by. ASI is the manufacturer of product that meets P608 specification. We're not contractors. We work closely with contractors to assure that the product that we make is being applied in a manner consistent with the specification and consistent with the best long-term performance. But we are separate from contractors. But we are shackled together in some sense in that we have to deal with real-world situations and work together with the engineer and the contractor to overcome problems sometimes. So what we have observed over these many long years is that the contractors and engineers will enact some options and alternatives when they have no other choice. So sometimes we'll see that there's a project that for whatever reason is going to be done in the desert, in the middle of the summer, in the blazing hot heat, where pavement temp is, 175, 180 degrees Fahrenheit, and this little thin layer of sealer is going to go over the top of that, and that can lead to tenderness issues. So what we have observed happening is that Sometimes these folks will decrease the application rate and even switch to a one-to-one dilute that has less product in it so that there's not a sticky, tacky residue on top. They can also lower the emulsion temperature, the temperature of the product, to 140 Fahrenheit, and they can flush the cured seal with water reduce some of that tenderness and tackiness. One of the options that we've been faced with lately, questions about, is switching to a rapid cure solvent-based version of these P608 type seals. And those are done via modifications and some pretty good success via that route. Cool conditions, beginning of the year, and of course at the end of the year, people are trying to jam projects through on the calendar and find themselves in cool, wet conditions, all this kind of stuff. So what we've observed them doing is decreasing application rates again and sometimes switching over to the 2-to-1 dilute, which has more product and less water to evaporate. They also will raise the emulsion temp to the maximum per the spec in order to accelerate the curing of the seal. And in some of these situations, we've been asked to become involved in switching to our rapid cure solvent-based type product. In all of these situations, we certainly appreciate and would hope that the folks would consult the manufacturer for their thoughts on such extreme conditions in the effort to get the best project possible done. And this brings us to our Q&A session.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, John. There was a lot of great information with this webinar. I'd like to bring up a couple of things. One is we probably have more questions submitted, which is a great thing because it just shows that there's a lot of great information that we have here. And so all of the questions that you've turned in, we have and will be given to Joe and John, and they'll be able to respond to you if we're not able to get to them with the remaining minutes of this webinar. Also, as a reminder, this webinar is being recorded, and as of tomorrow morning, it will appear on airportimprovement.com, and that will be for both the slides as well as the audio. So we welcome your participation, and it will be there for future use. So, John, Joe, you ready for some questions?
You bet.
Ready.
Okay, great. And as I said, we'll get to as many of them as we possibly can. One of the questions, and I'm taking them in the order in which they were submitted, will the GSB88 treatment prevent iron oxides in the aggregates from staining pavement markings?
I'll take that one. It's a good question. It depends on the concentration and amount of iron oxide in the aggregates. If you have iron oxide, I assume that you're using a steel slag in your hot mix asphalt. Depending on the thickness of the P608 treatment, it may or may not prevent that. You would have to do a little test area at various residue rates and determine that.
So I put tester trips down on a couple of pavements that had the rust effect with the water from the mineral content in the water, and it did not cure the problem. The water still came up through the pavement, and rust stains and even some other stains were present. So I agree with you that I think at a higher rate, I think it could be could help.
Okay, awesome. Another question that we've been asked: is this product available or has it been used in Canada? And as a follow up, do you have any information regarding installation, material, and labor costs?
Joe, I'll start. You jump in. I know that GSP 88 has been shipped and applied in Canada. I don't know what volumes, and I don't know any of the specifics of projects or if they were just more larger test-type projects. Joe, do you have any details?
I don't. I haven't fled from the Midwest cold about 5 years ago. Likewise, John, I know there has been some work up there. I don't know to what extent, but we can certainly follow up on that and respond to the questioner.
Yep.
Okay.
But it met all the restrictions. It did meet all the restrictions, shipping from the U.S. to Canada. I know that. We checked on that recently, so I know that there won't be any transportation difficulties or barriers shipping into Canada.
Okay. Another question that has been asked is, how far in advance do you recommend sealing cracks prior to the P608 application?
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, for convenience, most projects seem to be campaigned through the airfield at the same time. So you're going to do a 2-week-long project where you're going to, daily or nightly close the runway, route and clean your cracks, do your cracks. When you're done with your cracks, go ahead and P608 over the top of it. Sometimes that's done in sections. Sometimes that's done an entire phase at a time. So preferably, you're looking at doing your crack filling when the cracks are more open, so when it's a little bit cooler, which kind of sometimes may butt heads with the P608 seal. But there's no limitations in terms of doing the crack fill immediately before the P608 seal. Nor is there a limitation in doing the crack fill after a P608 seal. Nobody likes, contractor equipment running around on a fresh seal, but if need be, you can even crack fill after P608. But our best practices recommendation is crack fill prior to P608, and that can be done, the day before, the day of, 2 days, 2 weeks, a month, what have you. So no restrictions there.
Okay, and there's a similar question that also is regarding cracks. Is there a common maximum crack width that this material will seal over?
It's a fog seal, so it's not meant to fill cracks. The industry standard is an eighth of inch or bigger needs to be crack filled or crack sealed. This is a liquid thin fog seal sealer, so it will, depending on your application rate, fill in cracks an eighth or smaller. Of course, it fills all the micro cracking, but when you start to get some hairline cracking, if you have a heavier application rate, you're going to fill those small hairline cracks. But when you're running into significant eighth inch or bigger cracks, those need to be crack filled.
Okay, thank you. And I think this was touched on a little bit in your presentation. One of the questioners asks, what pavement preparation is required before the P608 placement? What is debris on pavements is unacceptable?
The pavement needs to be cleaned. It needs to be swept and possibly vacuumed. Even a light layer of dust will cause adhesion problems with the P608. But normally, in just most projects, what's acceptable will be a sweeping with a poly broom, medium tension on that broom, and then before the application, blowers. Blowers work really well to get the fine dust and to get the fine aggregate, blow any loose aggregate or fine dust off, but the pavement just needs to be cleaned.
Okay. And John, I have another prep question. do you have to grind or water blast the existing pavement markings before application?
There's several different acceptable methods, and any of those methods work fine. Yes, but you would want to remove those before the application. But there are two or three different industry standard ways to remove markings. Any of those work fine. Those paint removal really distresses pavement. All you guys have seen it. When a contractor knows about that beforehand, a lot of times those areas can be pre-treated before the treatment. A lot of residual asphalt has been lost. The fines have been lost, and sometimes even aggregate's been lost through those two processes. So sometimes a little pre-treat of those areas work really well, and then the application, again, over the top of the pre-treat.
Okay. Thank you. And I know that we're running out of time, but I was hoping to get one more question. Is that okay with you, John and Joe?
Sure.
Okay. One of our attendees is asking, how soon after the application can you apply pavement markings?
When the pavement, or when the sealer's cured. And you're not going to, like I said, we recommend temporary striping. You're going to put down temporary striping per P620. And whenever the pavement's cured enough to get the equipment on it without pulling up the sealer, without scarring the sealer, generally that's 24 to 36 hours. Sometimes it can be a lot sooner. I'm talking worst case scenario. There's a lot of times in dry climates when the humidity is 8%, the sealer dries very quickly, and you can literally get on it the same day that afternoon. It's going to vary depending on application rate, humidity, temperature, a lot of factors. Generally speaking, 24 to 48 hours.
Okay, great. Thank you. There are still more questions, and there's no way that we have enough time to get to all of them. And as I mentioned, our hosts today, Joe and John, will be given all of your questions, and they'll have the ability to answer each of yours as they've been submitted. Any final thoughts, Joe and John?
Just like to thank everybody for their attendance and attention, and hope you have a great week. We'll be methodically answering questions and responding back to folks over the next couple few weeks. We wish everybody happy holidays and a happy new year.
Yeah, same here. Thanks for your attention. We really appreciate it. We look forward to meeting you individually, hopefully visiting airports where you have a possible seal coat. We look forward to it again. Happy holidays and safe travels.
So this concludes our webinar today. And as a reminder, it will be available for everyone starting tomorrow morning at airportimprovement.com under the webinar tab. This recording, or this webinar rather, has been recorded in its entirety, both the slides as well as the audio. Thank you for making this a part of your day's schedule. We appreciate it. Have a great day. Bye-bye.